Hello, everyone, and welcome to One Song Number 7. It's Peter Broderick here, and today we have a conversation with my friend Saki, known professionally as Hattis Noit. Here she tells the story of her song Inori, which, interestingly enough, leads us to a discussion about nuclear disaster and, ultimately, compassion. Please enjoy.
What is a song?
Where do songs come from? What is the life of a song?
How much can a song morph and change before it becomes something else entirely?
What is the essence of one song?
Hattis Noit. Hello.
Hello.
Thanks so much for joining me today.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah. I have three introductory questions that I ask everybody.
Mm-hmm.
How many years have you been on this earth? Where in the world are you now? And what was the last meal that you ate?
Well, okay. How long have I been here? In on the earth, 36 years, I think. It could be longer in some way.
You might be an ancient soul who's been here forever.
Yeah, maybe.
And,
I kind of believe so.
And where in the world are you now?
In London. East London.
Okay. Yeah. And what was the last meal that you ate?
Recently, I tried to keep my diet as close as when I was in Japan. So I ate rice, like brown rice and miso soup in this
Gorgeous.
Morning.
Gorgeous. Beautiful. That's so great. That's a good segue into what I wanted to talk to you about first, which is just a bit of background and, you know, a few noises back there. So you, as you just mentioned, you're from Japan, and maybe first I could actually just tell people how you and I met.
Yeah.
We met through our mutual friend, Mr. Robert Raths from Erase Tapes. And I don't remember exactly when we met, but it was a couple of years ago, I guess.
Yeah, I think so. The earliest memory, I think earliest memory with you was in from Jazz Cafe in London.
Yeah,
that was a big moment.
Yes, we shared the stage.
Get to know each other. Yeah.
I think we probably met once or twice before that. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure, but
yeah, it could be.
Then we shared the stage together, and that was when. Mm-hmm. You know, yeah, that was when we made a bit of a connection, I suppose.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. That was a wonderful show, Jazz Cafe.
Yeah.
2018, maybe? 17?
I guess.
Something like this. So, so yeah, but as you said, you're originally from Japan. Now you live in London. I wanted to just ask you a little bit before we get into the song that we're here to talk about today. I wondered if we could quickly talk about, perhaps some of your growing up in Japan and perhaps how that might be different from how you experience life in Europe and other parts of the world.
Okay. Yeah, this is actually the first time for me to live abroad properly. So, like in the beginning, everything was, quite shocking to me. Like completely different, you know. I mean everything, like climate is different and the food is different, but the biggest thing, at the beginning I quite struggled with was the way to communicate with people, because in general, like people in Japan don't say anything so directly, or even the distance between us when we speak each other in actual space. So we kind of like naturally try to keep some distance to the other person when we talk. But some people in Europe is really close, you know. I see, yeah. I mean, yeah.
Let me interrupt for a moment. I heard once, I don't even know if this is true, but I heard once about there being something in Japan about sort of different layers of the self that you would perhaps reveal to different types of relationships. Maybe, you know, a business associate might only know the first couple few layers, but and there is even a layer that is only for the self entirely. Maybe maybe no other person even knows this. Is there something like this? Or am I making... Okay.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, still, in Europe, people still have sort of like that layers, I think.
Okay.
But like ours is maybe a bit like stronger.
Right, right.
Yeah.
A bit more, would it be correct to say almost a bit more formalized or something?
Yeah.
Just to systematic?
Be polite. Yeah. To be polite, so, and then to have everything like more smooth, or, you know.
In this situation, I expose this layers of myself. In this type of situation, I don't know. I'm just asking.
Yeah. Could be quite different, I think.
Yeah.
It depends on the situation.
Yeah. One of the reasons I asked that question is because when I was first getting to know you and your music, I did a bit of research before we played that show together at the Jazz Cafe. I was just looking up your work online, and I found a video of you. I think it was in America. Yeah, it was in America. And it was a video of you playing some music and also talking a bit. And there was something you said there about the difference between Japan and America that really stuck in my head. You said something to the effect of, in America, or perhaps in Europe as well, the audience tells you, they show you how they feel. They show you very openly, you know,
very much
how
very
they
much,
feel.
Yeah.
You can feel it. In room. Whereas in Japan, the audience, as a cultural thing, it's not part of the culture to show openly how you feel about the music. And I can imagine that's so, like, you experienced the opposite as me, whereas I grew up in America and Europe, and then I went to Japan at some point. And I thought, does anybody like this? I can't tell.
I know. Yeah. I totally understand what you mean, you know. I felt exactly the same, like in the opposite way.
Yeah.
Because... So that, in a way, I felt I'm a hero or something like that when I was in America.
Right.
Like every time I had a show, like the audience would come to me, and then how excited they are. And it was amazing experience, you know.
Yeah, I can only imagine. Yeah. Whereas, I imagine it's almost a bit easier from your side because you're used to no reaction.
Okay,
then you arrive
In
America and you get reaction.
Yeah. Whereas, I felt so good.
Yeah, whereas I felt very puzzled because I'm used to this live feedback.
Yeah.
And then I arrive in Japan and I play and I go, you know, what's happening?
I know, I know. Don't worry, they're just shy. Very shy.
Yes, I came to learn this after a while, and not only shy, but like we were saying, it's just part of the culture. It's almost out of respect, isn't it, to give the performer
dictate the mood of the vibe of the space, as opposed imposing your own feelings on it as an audience mm-hmm. member. And that's mm-hmm. something that I think is very beautiful, that like, I don't know, I won't be the best at articulating what's beautiful mm-hmm. about Japan, but I've been there several mm-hmm. times now, and there is something about that, that unselfishness, if you know what I mean, mm-hmm. as compared to mm-hmm. Western culture, which is all about me and what I want, you know, there's a beauty in Japan mm-hmm. with this, the sort of, it's less of a selfish culture, I find.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think we more consider about the atmosphere of the space and between people, and how can we maintain the atmosphere good, like rather than showing ourselves so much. Or
yeah.
Maybe something like that.
It's so interesting. and obviously both have their good sides and their bad sides, you know?
Yeah. I think so.
In Western culture, we might have problems of people being too selfish and not thinking enough for the group. And then I'm sure in Japan as well, there's people who have a desire to express something of their unique self, but they don't mm-hmm. feel there's room perhaps to mm-hmm. to do it there. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, so that I sometimes got quite shocked when I moved to Europe, because some people are really emotional in the public space, like in front of me. So I got really shocked. Like, is she okay? Or is he okay? Or, you know, but it was just a difference of like expressing ourselves. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. So before I went to Japan, I had traveled mm-hmm. lots all around, mostly around Europe. But when I first went to Japan, then I realized what this term culture shock means. We have this term culture shock, where you go to another place and the culture is so different that it's just such a shock to your system. You know, you feel almost like an alien on the same mm-hmm. planet.
Yeah.
yeah. Amazing. Well, so we're here to talk about your piece Inori, and maybe I could just quickly tell how I've heard the piece, and then mm-hmm. I'll give it over to you to just take it away, anything you might have to say about it, because I've seen you play a number of times now. And you've played this piece at most of the concerts of yours that I've seen, and you mm-hmm. always give a beautiful introduction context for people to appreciate what the music is for, why it came about. And that's why I thought it might be appropriate for something like this, where the whole thing is just talking. It's about discovering what the song is about mm-hmm. and what it's for, and all of that. Yeah.
So beautiful.
But my understanding is that you went to, at some stage, you went and visited the sort of aftermath of the disaster in Fukushima. Mm-hmm. I thought, just in case there's anybody who doesn't know, who's listening to this, we might quickly explain what that was. It was in 2011. There was a big earthquake in Japan, followed by a large tsunami, and the tsunami sort of went over a seawall into a nuclear power plant, and then basically caused a nuclear meltdown, and the whole area was evacuated. And even to this day, they're dealing with that problem of contaminated water and health risks associated with radioactive contamination. So at some stage, you made the decision to go there to visit this place and make a piece of music and a sort of musical prayer for this place. So yeah, just that's what I know about it. Maybe you could you could tell me. And you sent me some pictures and videos. Do you think as you speak, I could just sort of show some of these pictures?
For sure, sure.
And then, you know, because some people might just be listening, so I don't want to focus on the pictures too much, but maybe mm-hmm. as you tell your story, I could just show some of the images for people mm-hmm. who are watching.
Mm-hmm. Thank Great. You.
Okay.
Yeah.
Share. Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
So actually this title Inori means prayer in Japan, Japanese word. And as Peter said, I visited Fukushima after the disaster. I think it was 2017 or 16 even, in the spring. And the reason why I visited there was there was some memorial ceremony for the area, because in that year, finally, some limited area around that nuclear power plant was prohibited to get entering that space. And then that was the reopening ceremony and also the memorial ceremony for the people has died in the disaster. So, yeah, when we people hear the name of Fukushima, I think people remember this nuclear power plant disaster, but actually so much more people died because of tsunami before mm-hmm. the disaster. So I think actually that is the kind of issue, because even for me, before I visited that area, and when I decided to go that area, I just think of this nuclear power plant issue. And actually, I was planning to make this piece beforehand I visited that area. Because, you know, as a Japanese person, it's, of course, quite severe and traumatic memory for me as well. Even I lived in Tokyo, I mean, not quite far, but a little bit far from Fukushima area. But still, it was really traumatic memory. So, yeah, when I got, I got the invitation for that ceremony to perform, because one of my friend actually from that area, so he invited me to come to perform there for the ceremony and for the people has died. So yeah, when I got this invitation, like on the stage, I always talk about this story. When I got this invitation, I have to be honest, I was really scared to go there, because of course I knew how, I mean, dangerous of that area and how dangerous is the radioactive stuff. But I somehow felt, I don't know, like some special bond to that place by getting this invitation. And as an artist, I somehow felt I have to go, you know. So I decided to go. But at that time, I was, yeah, as I said earlier, I was already planning to make this song, like, right. doing some recording there and making some piece about nuclear power plant and like this whole nuclear power using those technology issue, you know, as like for the humankind. So yeah, now I visited there. But actually at that time I had quite a tough discussion with the guy who invited me, because when I told him that I was planning to make this song to questioning this nuclear power plant issue, he was quite upset to hear that, because because obviously he's a local person and then who has looked after local people and a local community devastated one. He has supported for the local community so much. Of course, he has love and a very strong connection to the local, like, people and the local community, the culture and stuff. So he was quite upset, and he concerned if I make this piece like this from that perspective, people who listen to that piece would think like even more extreme way, like Fukushima is dangerous, you know.
Right, I see.
At the time, it was quite a big issue, because some information is correct, but something is not. It's kind of like a rumor or conspiracy or like exaggerated. So people all very concerned and be scared of Fukushima. So sometimes like discrimination happened even within Japan.
Right.
You know, any product from Fukushima, any people from Fukushima actually get discriminated from the other from
almost
the people
as if they're dirty or sick or something like
that. So that he was really worried about that was happening, and so basically he didn't want me to make that piece.
Yeah.
If I do that, if I describe something from that perspective, the kind of political perspective, or like accusing this danger of
right. Paper.
And it was a quite tough conversation to me because it kind of felt lost. What should I do, you know, as an artist?
Yeah,
like what is right thing to do? And so when I left Tokyo to go to Fukushima, I had no answer at the moment. I wasn't sure if I should do this or not. Somehow I decided to let it go, you know. I would see what I should do in there, like once I get there. I expected that happened. And I went to Fukushima and I performed at the ceremony, and seeing many local people in the village. And bit by bit, I come to understand what's going on there, because I didn't actually expect this happen to me, like change my mind. But I got new perspective, which I didn't know when I just live in Tokyo. Actually, people in Tokyo was using the electric power from Fukushima. So,
right.
See what I mean? Of course, people in Fukushima used so much less electric power from the power plant.
We are
the biggest customer. biggest consumer of that electric energy from Fukushima. So time by time, like, I felt really guilty. And also, I kind of realized how stupid I was, like how I thought about this issue so simply, like too simple, you know. So, and also to see local people, bit by bit, I could understand how much they love their local, you know,
where they used to live,
you know. Some people still can't get back to that area to live.
Right.
But I didn't expect this, but actually so many people still want to get back to that area to live.
Even though it's contaminated.
Yeah, can you imagine it?
Wow.
I couldn't. I just expect no one longer wants to leave that area because it's dangerous.
Well, it's interesting as well with this type of contamination because it's kind of invisible, you know? You don't, if a place was on fire, you might not go and live there. But with this kind of contamination, it's something that you might not
you can
even
see, just
you might not even feel it every day, but over time it could be very detrimental, bad for your health, you know.
But you can see by this video, just normal local.
Yeah.
You know, country. Very.
Could you explain this machine we see right here?
Oh yeah, this is it is called Geiger counter, which we took on this trip. It counts how much radioactivity is the right word. So we can see how high level of radioactivity.
Yeah, you could see it go up right area. Here.
Yeah. So bit by bit, during this drive, the number we're going up, by the time getting closer to the power plant, the number will go up and stuff. But just only by this machine we can tell. But otherwise, we didn't feel anything.
Yeah. Right. Isn't that interesting?
Just normal place, you know. It's a really weird feeling. At some point, I felt something like, but I still can't tell if it's because my nervousness or actually getting something, you know, psychological thing as well. So,
well, because you have this machine, and I'll just explain it for people who's just listening. Mm-hmm. It's like a little electronic machine with some numbers on it. What did you call it? A Geiger counter?
Geiger counter, yeah.
Okay. I'm not sure if I'm saying that right, but it basically just has numbers, which I guess show the amount of radioactive activity in that area. But if you're looking down at this thing and you see the numbers going up, and you know the more those numbers go up, the worse it is for you, of course that's going to affect you psychologically, right?
Yeah. And the sound is quite scary. I mean,
okay.
So, through this trip, I somehow, felt, I think I am changing the theme of this piece, you know, not just to, like, spread or showing how dangerous they are. Rather than that, I just want to, tell about the people who long for their birthplace or where they love or you know, they're feeling their loss. And yeah.
It's almost as if you have to kind of zoom out more on the on the bigger issue. And isn't that such a great lesson for so many conflicts in this world? Mm. When you focus too much on one argument or one part of the story, I often feel like it can be not so helpful, you know. But when you zoom out and you try to include as much of it as you can, you know, you get such a different perspective. And
And also, like, I really saw what I should do as an artist. Some artists might do some stronger political message, like song or some sort of like that. But I just didn't feel it's right to me personally, you know, to do after this experience with local people and to see how much they love their local place. So, yeah, I just didn't feel it's right. Just keep the song just political, more like I, as an artist, I just want to sympathize or empathize with the people who I was able to meet through the trip. And I still think it's more important to me to do.
So then you came with, rather than a political message, sort of perhaps criticizing the fault of this disaster, you came more with a feeling of, the title of the piece, Inori, which means, it means prayer, doesn't it?
Yes.
So you come with a prayer for healing, looking at the suffering and offering whatever you can to people in this difficult time, you know? Yeah. And it's very troubling in a way, because disasters like this, along with, you know, Chernobyl as well, the other greatest nuclear disaster that we know of in our history. There's, at a certain point, it can feel a bit hopeless or helpless in a way, because there's nothing you can really do, is there? You know, the damage is done. It's there. You can, and it's bad. It's quite horrific. And I actually I watched a series about Chernobyl. I don't know if you've seen it. It's just called Chernobyl, but it's like a 4-part series, I think, about like a reenactment of the disaster there. And it gave me such a strange feeling, like a really dirty feeling, as if like, ooh, this is a part of this planet, and I'm part of this planet, and this disaster is still there, you know?
Yeah.
But you know, once you arrive at that hopelessness, it's like, well, what can you do? You can pray. You can just look for the beauty that you see, and offer your empathy and your gratitude for what we still have left. So did you get to perform the piece there?
Yeah.
And you decided to
I had a performance at the ceremony, and also I recorded some sound of ocean at the beach. It was just from about one kilometer from the Fukushima power plant itself. And
I play a bit of that now.
Yeah.
And you can please continue to talk. I'll just play a bit of it as well.
Yeah. So I recorded this sound and I used this sound for my piece Inori. Actually, Inori has multiple version by now. Very first one, I recorded that version in Berlin in a Boxton studio with Antesco. It was for, I think it was Dave's 10th anniversary compilation series. I made this piece with Massa, at that time a Berlin-based vibraphone player, Masayoshi Fujita. He helped me to record that. And yeah, this was a point where we recorded. And he is the guy who made the video for this piece as well.
I have
his
a question.
His name is,
because there's one version as well. I'll show it to you here. It's is this before the version that came out on the box set? Is this a different version of the piece?
Actually, I think I remember that we make it shorter for this video.
Yes.
But okay. Basically the same, yeah, short version.
Okay.
Specifically for this video.
I see. Should we share this video with people and maybe watch it ourselves?
Sure, sure.
And they can hear a version of the piece then. It's a striking visualization of the radioactive contamination where the contamination has gone through a machine like we described, and then that information has been transformed into bits of light that go over your face and your body. It's really beautiful, and it's maybe we can show this now, and then later on at the end we could play people the full version of the piece that's on the box set. Well, let's do it. Okay. Wow. That's so beautiful. And it's amazing because even amidst that, you know, very heavy subject matter, what you do with your voice makes me smile like a child. The explorations of sound with the voice, like a kid with a crayon making funny shapes on a page, and it just there's such a sense of wonder to it that I just really appreciate that I could smile in a situation like this, I suppose.
Thank you. I think, yeah. So to make this a video, and also actually for that trip as well, there was a companion who was the director of this movie. So we were planning to make this piece and video by that trip. The director's name is Nobumichi Asai. He's okay. A visual artist. And I think maybe you can see a kind of conflict between us, I guess.
Okay.
Because the video seems very shocking and also quite, I don't know, sensational, isn't it?
Okay.
Yeah. So there was big discussion to make this video between me and this director Nobu as well.
Yeah.
So he wanted to have this whole piece as a very sensational, like a questioning, some
exposing
like
how toxic the contamination is.
Yeah. But like before the trip, I agreed with him. Okay, that's the thing we have to do right now from Japan. But like, as I said, the whole trip changes my mind.
Yes.
But it doesn't happen to him, really.
Okay.
To me, I changed my mind, but he didn't. So I, of course, also appreciate his perspective as well. And I, you know, so to make this video was quite tough process.
Okay.
For the production between me and him, and Nobu, and also actually Robert from Irrespectives also really helped us. Like, where is a point we can reach together?
Yeah.
You know? So I somehow. It was really lovely to hear you felt in that way, because that was actually what I tried to do by my voice, because he directed that image of this video, but I just didn't want to have this piece just as like sensational So I wanted people to feel some, I don't know, warmness or more like humanity. Sensation.
Yeah.
Yes, humanity, yeah. Like a sensation or any kind of feeling, you know, I believe for anyone, I think can connect somehow this feeling, like, you know, longing for a hometown or longing for a family, precious friend or precious memory belongs some specific place or something like that, you know? So, yeah. Yeah, actually... Absolutely. Yeah, that was what I wanted to do for this piece by the sound, by my voice,
yes.
You know, well, from great. The other side, you know.
In my opinion, you did it.
Thank you.
So you took this concept in Ori and you recently turned it into kind of a new piece, but it's the same, yeah. It's connected in the same title. So I'm curious how you see that. Do you see Inori as a song or a piece of music, or is it, because, you know, for instance, there might be composers like, I'll just give a really blatant example, like John Cage in his composition, 4 minutes, 33 seconds, where there's no notes played, but the sound comes from whatever ambient sound in the room is happening. So every time this composition will be completely different. You know what I mean? So do you see Inori as something like this, which can change for different situations, or is it kind of morphing into a new piece of music each time, or how do you see that?
When I made this piece from Fukushima and for Fukushima, I didn't expect this to happen, but actually after I released this piece, I feel somehow this Inori is developing by itself. And every time, especially when I sing this song, I again try to connect to the which I got from Fukushima and like memory of the people who I met, but also trying to sympathize with some people or like connect to some memory, someone's memory, or
almost like even, offering a bit of yourself towards whatever this collective suffering maybe.
I mean, it doesn't necessarily be suffering, but also any kind of memory, you know, like personal or like memory, you know. And I recently made a different version of Inori, which happened in Austria in the town of Graz, and I visited. It was a festival in Graz, and the people from festival offered me to get in to the shelter, which was built in World War II time.
Right.
Yeah, and to see there and to experience that space and to do some performance. So I somehow feel, maybe here is also the perfect place to perform this song, Inori. So when I felt that, I was just thinking maybe I will play the exact the same piece, Inori, from Fukushima in the Graz place. But I somehow felt it would make more sense to do something new as improvised for this place, Graz, or for this shelter, but still having the same title, because it's somehow, to me, it's connecting each other, because site-specific, to me, connect with the space, connect with the memory of local people and to feel how local people love this space, you know. At the time I had also interesting experience because when I got this invitation from local people to get into that shelter space, again, I felt kind of scared.
Yeah,
see
yeah.
what I mean?
Yeah.
Because it's I mean, obviously war related and could many people died or
right.
know, my imagination was growing up and now I was scared. And I wasn't even sure if I can perform there or if it was appropriate to do because I'm
right.
not Austrian person. Even I'm not from Europe.
Yeah.
So I wasn't sure I'm the right person to do before I got there. But once I got in the space, I felt completely opposite feeling from what I expected. It was, I don't know, I felt so safe to be there. And then I felt I am embraced by the space and I felt really calm. I was really calm to be there and like there was very like clear serenity.
Yeah.
It was really, kind of spiritual, beautiful atmosphere was there. So I didn't hesitate performing something in there, surprisingly. And I decided rather than performing the piece Inori from Fukushima, I will make something completely new for this space because I somehow feel the connection with this space as well, and also I think there's some meaning that local people allowed me to be there.
So I
was really appreciate for the people who invited me, and I made this piece completely newly. So it's also called Inori, but Inori for Grats, I named.
Yeah, Inori for Grats.
Yeah.
and a similar concept in the sense that you took a field recording from the place.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
In this case, I'll play a little clip of it here. This seems to be you sort of riding through on this little train, right?
Yeah. It's really deep, and it's underneath the quite big hill.
Yeah.
Which is
We can show the location here as well. Is that that's it, right?
Yeah, this hill. Yeah.
Underneath there.
Just underneath.
Wow.
You can see the tiny tunnel. Underneath.
Beautiful. Well, so you took that field recording and then combined this with different aspects of your vocal performance.
Yeah.
Okay, should we play this version for people?
Sure.
Okay, great.
Thank you.
That's beautiful. That's so beautiful.
Thank you.
What's that very, very strange sound towards the end, right at the very end of the piece? Yeah.
For this performance, I worked with movie director Vincent Moon.
Yeah.
So for the performance, he also did some sound effect with visual effect as well. So,
okay.
Yeah. That effect is made by him.
Oh, right.
Isn't it so cool? I really love that.
It was so nice for me to see him in those photos because I've worked a bit with Vincent Moon as well. And he has a special energy, that man.
Totally.
Very enthusiastic, very passionate.
So much.
The passion is very contagious.
And really smart, so smart. Not just like crazy, but also really smart.
No, very, very focused on the task at hand, and following a deep sense of intuition.
And his concept
in the moment. Yeah,
always amazing. Yeah,
so cool. So will that come out as a video piece at some stage as well?
Not this song, but for the other song, we already released that video.
Oh, it's out there.
It's Angelus Novus. Other song from my latest EP.
This one here.
Oh, yeah.
Illogical Dance.
Yeah.
Great EP if anyone wants to check out some of Saki's, Hattis's recorded work.
Lovely, thank you.
And this here is the Erase Tapes box set. One plus one equals
beautiful one.
X. And this is this contains the full version of the Inori piece.
Yeah.
which was recorded in Berlin for this big collective album. There's some beautiful pictures inside this book. I love that. You in the studio there.
Yeah.
It's gorgeous.
Before recording.
So thanks so much for taking some time to dive into this a little bit. I really just want to say how much I really commend you for. Well, I'm realizing now, both with the Inori for Graz and the original Inori, this pattern of going to a place with one idea, but then being present enough in the moment, your experience there, and being vulnerable enough to let go of your idea and change it into something else. And that's just something that I really appreciate. And you know, if I could do that myself with my work, you know, to have ideas, but then once you're there to execute them, to actually be sensitive enough to let go of them if they don't feel useful anymore. You know, that's a beautiful, beautiful concept and practice to have, I think.
So well I think done. to me, like this production, like music production is not actually for music itself, more like activity or sometimes meditational or like therapeutic activity, I believe.
Yes.
So, yeah, not just focusing on the sound, but the meaning of that, like what actually does the sound to you,
and the purpose of it.
Yes.
What is it doing? And I think in your case, it goes beyond the sound. Every time I've seen you perform, when I watch you perform, I see every movement in your body is also making that sound. It's not just your mouth. I feel like you sing with your whole body and the space around. It's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing to watch.
Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we have a couple options of how we could end this program. We could play people the full version of this recording from the box set. Or we could do, we have also a video clip of the one time that you and I were on stage together, but it's a different piece of music entirely.
Oh, yeah.
But, we could also save that for another time and just let this show be about Inori. How do you feel?
Yeah, maybe keep it for Inori.
Let's do that. Yeah,
yeah,
I think so. Maybe we can find another time to.
Yeah, let's do that.
Share that clip.
Good
that,
thing for later.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, beautiful, Saki. Thank you so much once again. We'll end this by sharing the full version of Inori, and thanks for tuning in, everybody. Hope you've enjoyed
this.
All right. Hello,
No.